Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo, and we're here for the reproductive hormone evaluation module. The information here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, nor when you do this, if you're going to go in, somebody's working with a doctor, you know, obviously they're going to have to get any prescriptions or bioidenticals done through their doctor. If they're on bioidenticals and they're looking to you to help them get off, you have to make sure that they know that they need to work with their doctor, and you can't tell them, okay, now you can decrease this prescription. It's not legal. The way you assess hormones, well, you can go by symptoms and signs. So you have somebody fill out an objective assessment where they're checking boxes. Does this happen often, not often, whatever? You get a score. That's a really nice thing, the hormone assessment that I gave you. You have somebody fill out that hormone assessment, and voila. You get an idea of, ooh, this person probably has some things going on with hormones. Then you apply some pretty general, but specific to hormones, types of interventions, like make sure they're eating lots of cruciferous vegetables, make sure they're sufficient in iodine, make sure they're off of the inhibitors, make sure they're off of the processed foods and all that. So you can start there. And sometimes people just get, well, I don't run these tests on everybody. A lot of people don't want to spend the money. So we're just going by, most of the time, symptoms and signs. The next thing is temperature. That is very important for thyroid, but also very important for knowing the estrogen. So you do the temperature throughout the course of the month. And if you don't see the right amount of increase, like a point temperature increase at around ovulation in the second half of the cycle, you know that something's amiss there. So those are easy things, cheap and expensive things to do. And then observations, right? You want to ask them questions. If they come and they complain about headaches or they complain about joint pain, but it's only their specific times a month. Ah, what time a month? So you can kind of guess that, well, I feel really good up until about day 9 or 10. And then I just start to feel really awful and I get this headache and I get food cravings and then it gets better later in the cycle. Something's going wrong with that estrogen follicle stimulating area right around the cycle. Maybe they're not producing enough estrogen. Maybe they're producing too much estrogen. Right? So we get an idea if they say, oh, I'm grumpy at the end of my period and I'm really depressed. Well, depression can be a sign of excess of progesterone. Grumpiness and irritability and cravings can be a sign of decreased progesterone or an increased estrogen-progesterone ratio. So there's things like that that you look at, those observations of the cyclical nature. Okay? And the more you learn about it, the more you understand, the better you will be at that observation and assessment. And then there's lab. There's blood, saliva, and urine for lab testing. The blood testing you can do either free or protein bound. The less expensive ones, the ones that are typically run, are the protein bound. If you just send them to the lab, they do an estrogen, it's usually the protein bound. It doesn't give you an idea of what's active metabolically. And you can have a decrease in the ability to unbind the hormone that causes the problem, not so much the hormone level itself. So it's really important to get the free if you're trying to really look at this properly. The saliva. And the saliva, you could do spot checks versus cyclical. You can do a day 2 of the cycle or a day 26 of the cycle and get a sense of where they are in the follicular phase and what's going on in the luteal phase. Or you could do the whole cycle. And this is assuming women are cycling. For menopausal women, you just do it any time. Doesn't matter. Unless they're on hormone replacement and they're taking the hormone replacement cyclically, then you have to look at how that's trying to mimic the regular cycle and do it again in the follicular phase and the luteal phase, so you get a couple of different spot checks to see. Some just run it one time, like either day 2 or day 26. But it's nice to do them at both times because then you can see what's going on in both areas. So that's the saliva. And the saliva does test the free form of the hormone, not the protein bound. It's the active in that tissue. The urine, you can do a 24-hour. I've never seen anybody do a spot check urine for hormones. There may be some labs out there that I'm not aware of, but I'm aware of the 24-hour for urine. So the whole 24 hours you're collecting the urine and we're looking at all the metabolites. If a woman is ovulating, then you want to know what day, you know, maybe do it at either day 2 or day 26, but make sure that when you do it the second time, you do it at the same time a month. So we know what those numbers should be. because there's numbers you'll see when I show you the picture, that this is what the number should be in the follicular phase, and this is what it should be in the luteal phase. So those are options for assessing your hormones. So let's look at female hormone testing in more detail. In the blood, some things other than the hormones themselves that can indicate that you have problems with the female hormones, estrogen or progesterone. A lot of times with imbalances, you get elevated HDL. So you may think, oh, HDLs, I thought they could go as high as possible. Well, if you've got an HDL and it's going above 90 or 100, it's just a clue that there may be. It doesn't say definitely there's a problem, but there may be a problem with the female hormones. The free T4, and the free T4 might be increased and the free T3 decreased, so that the effects are related to the thyroglobulin. The excess estrogen will increase the thyroglobulin, the binding protein that hangs on to, that keeps it from being converted to the bound, the free form. And the free form of the thyroid hormones, the bound forms of the storage, they're not metabolically active. So we want to look at, if we have an excess, we have an estrogen dominance, we have too much of that binding hormone and we have too little of the thyroid. So it looks like the person's hypothyroid because their free T3 is low, when in reality, they have too much of the binding protein because of the excess estrogen. So that's a clue. It's a clue. And if your thyroid binding globulin, you can actually measure it, most people don't, is increased. Alkaline phosphatase can often be increased in female hormone testing. It could be related to the effects that female hormones have on bone metabolism, because alkaline phosphatase is related to not just liver, but to bone. So I'm not exactly sure the mechanism there, but these are things that have been objectively and clinically found to be possibly relevant. So then the progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, and DHEA sulfate can be tested directly in the blood, and that gives you a direct indication. But again, depends on what they're testing. They're usually not testing all the different estrogens, so it doesn't give us as much information as we would like. On the specialty testing, we can do the female hormone panel through the saliva. So generally, there's 11 days of collection. Estradiol and progesterone are throughout those days, and they're graphed and mapped out. The testosterone is usually given as an average, as is the DHEA, so they won't tell you day by day. They just average the DHEA and testosterone across the whole month to see if the person's out of balance with testosterone. The DHEA is measured again, like that. The LH, luteinizing hormone, and the FSH are measured on 5 of those different days, and they're measured at the points where they should be peaking. And that's the expanded profile. That's usually not in the regular profile. Those are really important to see, especially as a woman is nearing menopause, because we want to see if those are increasing. And if you have high levels of FSH or LH, or both, and you have normal to low levels of the progesterone, that's a sign that the woman's going into menopause, because the pituitary's going, come on, ovaries, come on, ovaries, you can do it, you can do it. It just keeps increasing the FSH and LH, and they're not responding. Or they may be responding adequately at really high levels. It's kind of like TSH, right? If TSH for thyroid, if it's really high, it means the pituitary is working really hard to stimulate the thyroid, which means the thyroid's sluggish. And then the 24-hour urine comprehensive is the test that Meridian Valley does. And it is expensive, about $400. You can also get it, I understand, through Life Extensions. I haven't looked it up to see if it's exactly the same. I think it might be they have subsets of it, but it's certainly much less expensive if you go that way. Here's the good news about Meridian Valley. As a non-licensed practitioner, you can order that any of the tests they have except the 24-hour urine. That requires a doctor's prescription to order it. But any of the other tests they have, and they have allergy tests, and they have saliva tests, and they have all kinds of, they have blood tests, you can order those through Meridian Valley. But you can't order the 24-hour. You have to have somebody with a license to order that. I'm not sure why. Then you have fatty acids. So imbalances in your EFAs are important to factor in with the hormones, because it's very much involved in the metabolites. And then the ASI, of course, the adrenal stress index, which gives us an idea of the cortisol levels and all. So you can pull a lot of these things together and do something comprehensive. Normally, what I like to do is a 24-hour urine and an ASI, plus the blood work. So blood work, 24-hour urine, and ASI. And I don't mean the blood work for progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. I mean the basic standard blood work. I'm going to go through the hormone testing resources. And I've just given you some links of where you can get some of these tests done and what the active metabolites. There's blood, saliva, and urine, 24-hour urine. And these are all the things that it measures. In addition, there's options for melatonin, growth hormone, and oxytocin. So it's very comprehensive. And those are relatively new, the oxytocin and the melatonin. So the male hormone assessment, you've got DHEA, you've got androstenedione, you've got testosterone, dihydroxy, estrone, progesterone, LH, and FSH. So that's the male hormone panel, that's the saliva. That's all the things you can get tested. If you're looking at a possibility of prostate issues, that's a standard blood test. You can look at creatinine, monocytes can be increased, and PSA. So symptoms of male hormone imbalance. So again, you want to look at what are the symptoms? How is this person presenting? You may not be doing a test, but you have a male that comes in and says, I just can't do muscle. My muscles aren't growing. I feel weaker. I'm working out at the gym, but I can't do it as well. I have low energy. I have low libido. I have low erectile dysfunction. I'm bald, you know, I'm losing my hair. I've got this big belly. The belly can be associated with the male hormones, also can be associated with excess cortisol or insulin resistance due to poor diet. They have may have urinary symptoms. They're getting up to pee a lot. They can't sleep all night. They're just losing it. They're just losing the motivation. And maybe this is a person who, like, all my life, I've been like a go-getter and I don't care anymore. It's a good sign. Insomnia, nervousness, depression, those are all a good sign, and as well as blood signs. Like their HDLs go down and their LDLs go up. So you have a male that presents that way, you go, oh, he probably has some hormone imbalances. Do you want to jump right in and get him tested and put him on testosterone? Not necessarily. You start by looking at his diet. You start by looking at his lifestyle and looking at his stress. And you see what you can do that way. Because if it's lifestyle induced, you can get them on some good cruciferous vegetables and greens, and you can get them on a magnesium supplement, and you can get them on a good, well-rounded green powder or something that's loaded with vitamins. He may have a vitamin D deficiency. You can correct that. You can look at his adrenals. You can see if he's got a lot of stress in his life and he needs to learn to manage that. You can do some of the support things for the adrenals. So there's a lot you can do before you have to run in and do all this advanced testing. But if you do a lot of that stuff, or he comes in and says, look, I've been on this, you know, perfect diet, whole foods only, I'm off of gluten, I'm eating lots of greens, I'm eating lots of cruciferous, I'm getting enough iodine, I'm exercising, and I'm still a mess. Then it's like, whoa, something's going on here. There's something disrupting that testosterone. And you may have to give him some temporarily. Or get him, you know, to a doctor who can prescribe it. Or get him some DHEA, which can be converted. That's usually where I would start, is looking at something. It's like, well, let's see if your body can make it itself. Let's just give you some extra DHEA.